This is With Intrepid Heart Sermons, sermons preached by Reverend Adam Moline at Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Lincoln, Nebraska. You can find our website at goodshepherdlincoln.org, and the texts for our sermons each week follow the historic one-year lectionary. Let's listen in to today's sermon. In the name of Jesus, amen. Part of our sinful nature is to be self-justifiers, to find a reason to compare ourselves to others, to find the sin in them that we think is worse than the sin in us, and to convince ourselves that that's the reason we should be saved. And with today's epistle lesson, that's an easy thing to do. It's easy for us to say, isn't it so nice that St. Paul is condemning all of those sinful people that we disagree with? Did you hear what he says? For you may be sure of this, that everyone who is sexually immoral or impure or who is covetous has no inheritance in the kingdom of God. Take that. You're worse than me. I'm better than you. All of those people outside the walls of the church who live sinfully, who do devious things, who undermine God and His word, especially in terms of God's gift of marriage and God's design of male and female. Paul is really telling them what's what, isn't he? Let him have it, Paul! Self-justifying. And at first glance, maybe that's what this epistle lesson is doing, right? Condemning all of those people out there who are wicked and perverted. But read the words again while you think of your own life, your own actions, your own thoughts. It's not only people out there that Paul condemns with these words, is it? In that way, Paul is actually quite a bit unlike us, at least when he's writing Holy Scripture. Because Paul is not self-justifying. He's persecuted and killed Christians, after all. Instead, what Paul wants is for those who hear his words to look deep inside, to shine a light in places not often looked, and to realize the depth of their own sin. He's not just about condemning others. He's about bringing sin to light, that Christ may die for it. So consider your life according to the words of our epistle lesson. What does he say? He says, don't partner with the sons of disobedience. In other words, don't partner with those who are standing against God's word, who are open to sin and wickedness. Do not be outwardly united with them. That has some serious ramifications, some of which our own congregation has had to deal with in the last few months. We've no longer been able to partner with organizations like Thrivent, for example, which has abandoned God's biblical principles and replace them with worldly, business-minded principles, which has undermined God's gift of marriage. If you don't like that example, how about this one? In Lincoln, we can no longer receive money from the Give to Lincoln Day, because in order to do so, you must sign a document that says you support all manner of wickedness that goes against God's word, and that you are not against it, but rather for it. And so, we no longer partner with Thrivent or with Give to Lincoln Day. In fact, it even causes challenges for silly little things. It would be really handy for us to have the church directory online, everybody be able to access it through something made by Google. But in order to do so, we have to sign a document that says we support these non-biblical issues. It's hard. It makes things more difficult. Jobs take longer. Money is a larger challenge. But Paul's words are clear. Do not partner with sons of disobedience. And if you are, stop it. Maybe your own family has had to ask some questions in that way over the last year or two as well. Paul also says this, that one needs not to be deceived by empty words. Empty words that surround us. Words, words, words everywhere. Whether on the news, where the talking heads spread a plethora of words that are usually empty but are designed to enslave you to their worldview, to make you feel a particular way so that you act a particular way. And the same thing happens on social media, where people scroll for hours through empty words that don't mean anything. Words written by people that you have never met, that you might not ever meet. Words that you might tell yourself have a grounding in God's word, but probably don't. Or are not written to support God's word, but rather to score points, to win followers, to get a thumbs up like, to evoke emotions so that other people will act the way that you want them to. Paul says, don't fill yourself with empty words. But the average American spends 2.5 hours a day in the empty words of social media. And most of them have no clue. If you ask them, how much time do you spend on social media? They think it's only a couple of minutes because it's so engrossing and addicting that they lose themselves. Just as they might at a casino. The same people design both. Empty words come to you also through TV shows. Words that make light of Christian worldviews. Words that depict activities directly opposed to God's spiritual mandates. Idolatrous moving images that suck you in. You thought 2.5 hours on social media was bad. The average adult in the United States over the age of 18 spends over 4 hours watching television a day. And in fact, the older that you get, the more that you watch. Empty words that pollute our minds. Empty words that change our perception. Empty words everywhere. Let me ask you this question. When you're laying in your deathbed, within 24 hours of your end in this world, will you say to yourself, I'm really glad that I spent 2.5 hours in social media and 4 hours watching the empty words on TV every day, 1/4 of my adult life? Or will you have thought of a better use of your time then? St. Paul doesn't just condemn the actions of others out there. He condemns our actions. The words he speaks are directed to us. He says, be but sexually immorality and all impurity or covetousness must not even be named among you, as is proper among saints. Let there be no filthiness, nor foolish talk, nor crude joking, which are out of place. We hear the words, but we don't think they apply to us. We think our little joke is innocent, that it won't matter, that our words have a greater degree of freedom than what Paul is talking about. Do you think Paul's words include the dirty joke that you emailed out this week? Do you think that Paul's words include the cruel words you spoke about your neighbor or your brother or your coworker? Do you think that Paul's words included imagining having a different spouse or cheating on the one that you have? When Paul says, let it not even be named among you, do you think that that means it's okay to keep those thoughts in the deep, dark recesses of your heart? Because if only you know, then it's fine. Do you think that God does not know and see and care? Paul's words are for you. Each and every one of you. You've committed those sins. You've thought that way. None of us can escape Paul's words of law. They're not just for people out there, they're for us. They cut into our hearts. And what does Paul say about those whom he speaks of? The one who does these things has no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. No inheritance. That means hell. So repent. Dear Christian, repent. Not just in your words here today, but in the actions that follow. Repent. Repent of your sinful life. Repent of your mindless addictions. Repent of spending your money on those things. Repent of your wicked thoughts and deeds. Repent of your partnerships with the sons of disobedience. Repent of the wicked that fills your life. Repent of your false beliefs. Repent of your sins. Stop walking in darkness. Stop following the sons of disobedience. Stop listening to their lies. Stop living in the ways of this fallen, doomed world. Repent today and now, while you still are able, before the night comes, when that time is over. Repent, Paul says, and instead walk in the light, making Christ your example, not the tweeters on the Twitter. Make Christ your example, not the organizations that sell out to make money. Make Christ your example, not giving in to childish jokes and giggling. Make Christ your example, not looking at pornography. Make Christ your example, not giving in to the ways of the world put into your head through the empty words of television. Make Christ your example, because He is actually your life, your hope, and your Savior. And there is none other. For Christ loves you and gave Himself up for you. He purchased and won you from all sins, from all death, and from the power of the devil, not with gold or silver, but with His holy precious blood, innocent suffering and death, that you may be His own and live under Him in His kingdom, in everlasting righteousness, innocence, and blessedness. Just as He has been risen from the dead, so too will you. He promises. His death means your life. His resurrection means you will rise from the dead. His death forgives all of your sins. It pays the price in full. You are not a slave to all the things we've spoken of today. You are free to follow Christ, because He has set you free. He gave Himself up for you. St. Paul says He's opened to you all the things that are the fruit of life, the fruit of light. Look at the last words of today's epistle lesson. For the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. That's what your life should be filled with. In repentant faith, trusting in Christ's atonement, live. Close your heart and your mind to all that the sons of disobedience bring to you. Drown out empty words and hear the words of life preached by Jesus. Remember your baptism, where Christ washed you, taking away all your sins as far as the east is from the west. eat his body and his blood, and receive anew forgiveness, life, and salvation. Let Jesus, who is good and right and true, fill every aspect of your life. For he is your hope. He is your Savior. He is your Lord. In the name of Jesus, amen.
That concludes today's sermon from Pastor Adam Moline. For more information about the Lutheran faith, check out our church website, goodshepherdlincoln.org. The title of this podcast, With Intrepid Heart, comes from the conclusion to the Book of Concord, where it is written, "This is our faith, doctrine, and confession, in which we also are willing, by God's grace, to appear with intrepid hearts before the judgment seat of Christ and give an account of it." God's blessings on your day.